Hey friends, welcome to the Rhythms for Life podcast, where each week we talk about four rhythms that help you reduce stress and anxiety and take charge of your emotional health. Rest, restore, connect, create.
These ideas come from Rebecca's best-selling book, Rhythms of Renewal, Trading Stress and Anxiety for a Life of Peace and Purpose. So grab your copy, invite your friends, and let's live in rhythm.
Welcome back. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Gabe. And it's great to be with you this week. It's a big week for our family. So thanks for going on this journey with us. But we're taking our son, Pierce, to college.
Yes. It's here. It's come so quick. All summer we were like, we've got 10 weeks, 9 weeks, 8 weeks. Oh, wait, 2 weeks.
It kind of just hit me this weekend. I mean, a flood of emotion around this. I'm pretty steely. Like, you know,
steely.
We've talked about this.
I like that word.
But, you know, I don't always feel my feelings. So I've been working on that.
Well, yes.
Good night. I want to go backwards now because I can't stop feeling my feelings right
now. I know. It's really actually so sweet and precious to watch because I feel like I felt my feelings all year starting in January on his 18th birthday. There were several ugly cries. And then Gabe had his ugly cry this weekend, which is awesome because I do think if we don't feel these things and let them rise when they need to, we can just gloss over it and not really honor the value that Pierce has brought to our home, our family. And so we just keep, I went through his memory box this weekend. I like looked
it's
at
like
all
you're
the,
tearing up now.
His artwork, his notes he would write us or write Kennedy or
I know.
Cade. Oh my goodness.
And he is the truly, I mean, I know everybody loves their kids. He's just so sweet, like such a kind, generous, faithful brother. And son. And it was fun to just get to tell him some of those things to just mark the moment and honor him. And that's the thing I learned from the books I've read on feeling my feelings. You know, the feeling of sadness is about honoring something that's been lost or that you are losing.
Right.
And it's okay to
His
feel sad. And you're excited too. It's obviously we're not just sad. I mean, we're kind of sad for ourselves. But we're so excited for him and so excited for this new journey. As you and I ran off to college, I remember we never looked back. Our parents were bawling as well, and we didn't even think about that. It was like, it's time to go, and it was so fun, and so we're excited for that for him, too.
Yes, I called my mom Saturday night on a walk crying, and she's like, well, I have a story of a girl I also dropped off at that same school, you know, 25 years ago, and you were off with friends, and I just sat there and bawled. And it's true, you know, I'm glad our kids aren't, you know, bawling because they're on an adventure, and we want to release them and launch them. And Pierce has always been a glass half full kid, always. He's always like seen the positive. And I just spoke over him last night, just the two of us. We all made sure we got time alone with him this weekend. And last night I just talked to him a lot about just don't shrink back. Don't shrink back in this season. Walk in the confidence that God has prepared you for this in advance and lean into him for all the strength, all the wisdom that you're getting in the void of mom and dad. And that's what's really exciting.
Yeah, and don't look back. That was one of my pieces of advice. It's obviously you love your family. You love your friends. You're walking into this new season. But don't walk in with one foot still here. Like, go all in to what God has laid out for you. And, you know, in all those ways, the timing of this is interesting because you wrote this book called A Surrendered Yes.
Yes.
Comes out in September. Mm-hmm. It's 52 devotionals that are amazing stories of a life of what does it look like to just surrender something and you don't know what's going to be on the other side of it.
Yeah.
So you just say yes to what God has and then you trust him with it. And so that's going to come out in September. People can start to pre-order it now. But I wanted to take a moment for you to just share a little bit about the heart behind this book and why you wrote it.
Well, I heard several years ago that freedom is just a slow and steady process of handing things over. And we all want to be free. We want to be fully free to run after the calling, the purpose, the passion, and the joy that God's put in our hearts. But a lot of times there are these things we're holding on to. And so surrender for me over the last decade has just been a lot of release. It's like, okay, I can't control the outcome of my kids. I can't control the outcome of my vocation or my marriage or my walk with God. What I can do, though, is I can say yes to the invitation of handing things over. And so I find that I'm most anxious when I'm trying to hold on with clenched fists to whatever it is, something that I'm worrying about in the middle of the night or big decisions, like, are we going to move our family across the country? Are we going to send our son 8 hours away to college? Or small decisions, like, am I just going to get outside and practice the rhythms that I've preached about and written about? And so the yeses for me are these small yeses that change our perspective every day, that allow and make room for the big yeses that change the trajectory of our lives.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful book. Every chapter, you know, I'm going to read some of the chapters. It's strength and weakness, rhythms of sleep, the renewal of Sabbath, room to breathe, something new, dreaming dreams, healthy play, taking a risk. There's all of these different short chapters with a story devotional to encourage all of us to just stay in that place of surrender. And the other thing about this book is it's absolutely beautiful. Like, if you haven't seen this cover yet, go to RebeccaLyons.com/ASY and you can actually see this beautiful cover that Dana Tanamachi, an incredible designer, put together. I will say it's feminine. I don't see a lot of men probably buying this book.
That's okay.
A lot of men can buy it for
feminine,
their wife.
So
their
every once in a while, I'll put out
you
something
are woman.
Feminine.
And it's beautiful, pink and
I mean,
all these
just
colors.
A devotional, in my opinion, should just be something beautiful you want to have sitting by your bedside or on your coffee table. And it should be inviting. And that's the point, is that we're going to spend 52 days together of you coming to this every day. Just a few words, some scripture, some encouragement, some reflection. That's what I need. So I hope that invites the reader to do the same.
And I think as we go into the fall, this message is so important for all of us. There's all kinds of new things coming. We don't always know what the next season's going to look like. We're having to live these lives of being surrendered. But sometimes we get fearful. Sometimes we get scared to do that. And this is the sort of thing that's going to keep this front of mind every week, every day. And so I want to encourage you. You're going to hear more about this as we go throughout this fall season. We're going to talk a lot about surrender, about how do we say yes to these things when they're hard. But go ahead and be a part of ordering this book. Pre-order it right now. And you can do that at RebeccaLyons.com/ASY. When you do pre-order it, there's a few things you're going to get. You're going to get 7 free chapters right away, so you can start to experience what this is like. Read along with us even right now. Also, iPhone backgrounds that are fun, beautiful
to design. Match the book.
They look awesome. And then there's also these 3 sessions that you've created, almost like this coaching, where you're personally going to hear from Rebecca about how she's tried to live out this message in her life. Share a little bit about what they're going to receive with that.
Yeah, I really wanted to do interactive sessions where I get to hear questions from you guys and go back and forth. And so we're going to do 3 of those. It's not just a video that lands in your inbox. We're going to have a date. We're going to literally going to have a coaching session together. And I'm excited because the first one's going to be on how to establish joy in your life. Like, what are the rhythms that are required for joy? What are the letting go, release things that require joy, required for joy? And then the next one would be rest, because you know that that's just a big anthem for me, is that rest allows us to surrender. And then finally, the last one is freedom. So 3 sessions on joy and rest and freedom. And I'm just excited to have those conversations with you guys, because to me, it's not just about me talking to a camera. It's about me hearing you and what are your needs and what are the obstacles, what are the barriers to surrender, so that we can overcome those things together.
Well, that's part of the Rhythms for Life community, that you guys have been amazing. Like, this whole community, we hear from you all the time just about how these podcasts, these conversations encourage you. Sometimes it's overwhelming because we don't know that it's that encouraging. We're just trying to do our best to talk through what we're walking through in life and how to help you with the things that we've learned. But this idea of surrender was so core to your message, Rebecca, 10 years ago when you wrote your first book. I mean, that was the whole point of Free Fall to Fly, was you don't find meaning till you surrender. And I feel like it's coming full circle with this particular message, and I'm excited about that. Well, today we have a great interview that you did with Jess Connolly, who we just love. And it's a message that's just so important to address right now. And knowing how to address it, it's not always that easy.
Yeah, breaking free from body shame, dare to reclaim what God has named good. This was my absolute favorite conversation I've ever had with Jess. And really what she talks about is that our body is good. It is actually good, that when God made it, he called it good, and that he said his works in Psalm 139 were wonderful, in fact. And so the enemy, of course, tries to steal this early on in life. And then we have the rest of our lives trying to recover what God has already declared as good. And so it's just a posture shift. It's a perspective of, I'm not I'm not working out or eating right or doing all these things so that I can try to be good. It's I'm actually doing these things because I'm honoring what is already good. And to me, just that subtle shift is a game changer. It reduces the self-loathing or the contempt when we look in the mirror. And it just goes, God, we're on the same team here. Thank you for my body. Thank you for making it strong. Thank you for helping me do hard things with it. And I think you're going to just absolutely be encouraged by this conversation with Jess. Friends, many of us are returning to our social lives and beginning to see loved ones again after a hard 18 months. I want to draw your attention to a place where COVID-19 is still a real and scary threat. Like so many parts of the world, the nation of Rwanda is still dealing with rising case numbers and deaths, and there's no sign of the pandemic easing up for them soon. Rwanda is a part of my story, and through the years, you may have heard me talk about my visit there with an organization called Africa New Life. Every year, Africa New Life provides millions of meals to students who might otherwise go whole days, entire days in a row without enough to eat. When the pandemic hit Rwanda last spring and the country went into lockdown, many families lost their source of income. Schools and school lunch programs were closed, and starvation was a real danger. Africa New Life began providing emergency food relief and gave out nearly 7 million meals to families who urgently needed them. This summer, with a new spike in COVID cases, the lockdowns have started again, and so has hunger. Africa New Life is responding again, and you can help. For just $15, you can provide 2 weeks' worth of meals to sustain a family through this critical time. They might have literally nothing else to eat right now. So if you can join us, go to africanewlife.org/RFL podcast and give the gift of food and hope. It's never been more urgent or important. Go to africanewlife.org and donate $15 for 2 weeks of meals today. Welcome to the podcast, girl.
Thank you for having me. Your podcast is absolutely one of my favorite places to be on the internet. And by be, I mean listen to in general.
Oh, well, I'm so excited for this conversation. I'm so excited for what you're doing, your message, how bold you are, how courageous you are on this topic of breaking free from body shame. I know you've had a million conversations about it this summer since your book released, and I'm kind of selfishly excited that I got to listen in and hear your heart behind all this and then get to talk to you on the back end. So thank you for being on today. How do you feel?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel good. I feel, a little weary. You know how it feels post book launch. I feel a tiny bit weary, but mostly I feel very still emboldened to talk about this for as long as I possibly can in Jesus' name, because the issue is not going away for women and men. And I do believe God has some good healing and hope for us.
Yeah. And I just want to give the listener some quick backstory. So you were supposed to take 2020 as a break from writing, and instead you wrote this book in 60 days because the pandemic hit and everyone's wearing sweatpants and hating their bodies and feeling like almost the freedom to just go, I need to kind of just feel comfort in this space. Isn't it interesting how the comfort and the self-loathing all like kind of does a dance? And I feel like you, from what I understand, your sweet editor was like, you should really dig into this. You should dig into this. And you did. And I cannot believe that on a break, because I know we both launched books around the same time, the fall prior, that on your break, you're like, this is in my bones and it must come out. Because I don't think there are a lot of voices out there talking about it in the freedom and the fullness that you do. So kudos to Jesus for giving you these words so beautifully, so anointed, so quickly. I mean, you know, like there's an urgency, I think, in this message. So I could gush on and on, but thank you for doing this.
You're right, though. It is. It's just Jesus. And that is not, you know, like false humility, because he just had some good words for all of us in it. And I've told people in the midst of those 60 days, I'd get done writing in the morning and I would walk around with the biggest smile on my face, because I was looking for truth as much as I was writing. I was like hoping to find helping to find the truth in his word. And every morning I'd find it and write it and find it and write it over and over again. And I was like, oh, he really does love our bodies. There really is some hope out here for us.
So I'd love to start with a quote that I read in the book that kind of stopped me in my tracks. I'm going to try not to cry. Okay, here goes. It says, I know women who take vitamins, watch what they eat, move their bodies, and use potions and lotions on their skin as an attempt to honor the good God who made their bodies, to steward what they've been given. And I know women, including myself, who would say sometimes the exercise and eating and products and general provoking of our bodies is more about trying to hold this thing together, as if it's all on us to do so, to make it good, instead of treating it as if it already is. Wow. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. When that hit me, I was like, I'm doing all those things. I'm taking vitamins. I'm moving my body every day. I wrote a book on rhythms and restore and the embodiment of the action of meeting God in the movement, potions and lotions. I'm trying to do clean on all those things. goodness yeah. gracious. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, but what is the motivation behind that? Let's yeah. talk about that. What are you,
yeah.
how would you expound on that? And what are you hearing from other women about that?
Yeah, it's so subtle. And it's so interesting because we really, really as humans crave someone to tell us like, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. This is the thing to do, this is the thing not to do. And I just honor our desire for that because we want to do the right thing. I think it's rooted in something good. Like we want to do the right things, even in our bodies. But this, the reason why I think so many people are scared to touch this conversation, and I understand now, is because there is so, it's not even, I don't even want to call it gray area because it's not even gray area. What I would say is it's a very colorful area. There is so much freedom and liberty here about what is healthy and what is worshipful for different people. And there just is no prescription. It gets kind of wild because we all have to get in there and say like, okay, right. What is my motive here? Am I trying to make my body better? Or am I trying to treat it like it's good? When I do this thing, am I left more in awe of God in my body? Or am I left feeling more bad or less than the world's perspective of what I should be? And so it takes some real like getting into our own spirit, getting into our own desire, getting into our own motive, and even like paying really close attention to our thought process to figure out like, why am I doing these things? Is it worshipful? Is it freedom? Is it liberty? Or is it potentially, yeah, like just a rhythm that kind of keeps my shame inside some boundaries, you know, that kind of keeps me like managed. And so I will say with like great compassion that I feel for us that that it isn't cut and dry, that there is no list, that there is no like immediate plan that works for everyone. But on the back end of that, I feel so much compassion because I know that that's a more complex conversation to step into, but I feel so much hope because I really absolutely trust for those of us who are in Christ, who walk with God, I trust the Holy Spirit in us to give us insight and wisdom about what is right for us. I trust the Spirit in us to say like, nope, that's bondage. When you do that thing, you can feel it. That's not it for you. Or like, look over here when you do this beautiful thing, it's so expansive. It's so whole. That's good. Or to say like, hey, you know what, here, these five things, maybe neither right nor wrong, but like you can do them beneficial. You get to decide, you get to walk with God and figure that out. And so while that's just so hard to answer for every person, there is hope in it. There's wild hope in it.
Well, and I think what you're communicating here is, are we trying to hold all things together? Or are we trusting the Creator who knit us and said his works were wonderful to hold us together? And I think yeah. that's the tension that it is displayed in our bodies and how we treat our bodies. It's displayed in our relationships, it's displayed in our work. It can be displayed in a lot of different ways. Even our communion with God can also come under the covering of control, unfortunately, rooted in fear. So let's back up a little bit and talk about you just said a statement about, am I seeing God's glory and experiencing his fullness in my body? What does that look like tangibly? And give me a story of like when you felt like you were in a season where you're trying to hold it together personally and check all the boxes because of shame, or the difference than another story or some example of when you're like, no, I actually experienced the fullness of communion with God in my body.
So for me, I would say one of the first places that I started to feel this shift from like, I am trying to present something to God, to the world that is good, rather than I am showing up in the goodness of God that he wrote, that he controlled. One of the first places, just on a weekly basis, I started to notice this was getting ready for corporate worship. Preparing my body, preparing myself for corporate worship. And my story may not be like everybody else's. And so if I share what I'm about to say and you're like, I've never felt that way, like that's okay. That's absolutely fine. God bless you. I'm so thankful. But here's what I noticed is that getting ready for church each week, and this started for me years ago, that I began to notice that my thought process was a lot based on what I perceived people would think about me or say about me when they saw me. So this varied from like, oh, she is such a put together mom. Like, oh my gosh, how does she do it? How does she get to church with four kids and do that? Or I would even think about like, ooh, I would like people to think that I am very wise. I want to dress more wise. I want to look more wise. Or like, I don't want to look too fussy in worship. I don't want to be the girl who's like, you know, so fussy that I can't just go after God. Then I would have pretty, you know, deep thoughts about my actual size and my actual body and like assumptions that people would make about my size and what that meant about my righteousness or my godliness or even my private life, the way I ordered my private life. And so I would spend all of this kind of back of my mind energy. I don't mean I'm like sitting down to journal about it, or I'm certainly not talking to anyone about it, but it's just this kind of loop playing in the back of my head as I prepare for this thing each week. And so one of the first rhythms that God took over in my life and really invited me to hand back to him, to say like, okay, let me remember again, what is the purpose of me going to be a part of corporate worship?
Yeah. And how did he change that for you? What was the practical action that helped shift that for you?
For me, it looked like confession first. Mm-hmm. Just actually saying out loud to God, like, I want your glory. I am wanting your glory right now. I am trying to take glory from the one who will not share it. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I'm thinking about this. I'm sorry I'm obsessing over this. And then I think actually I would say like starting with confession and repentance and moving into putting some more putting truth in a more accessible place in my mind and in my mouth about the purpose of whatever it was that I was doing. So for example, if it was going to meet with people, being able to say, what's the most important thing that I bring to the table when I come to worship? Okay, it's the fact that I'm loved by God. It's not my body. It's not my outfit. It's absolutely in Jesus' name, not someone else's perception of me. So putting that truth in my mouth, speaking it out loud to other people when any kind of those conversations would come to the surface. And then lastly, for me, it looked like acting free before I felt free sometimes.
Yes, say that again.
You know, it meant acting free, living into my freedom, agreeing with my freedom before I felt free.
That's good.
And that is not, I always like to be really clear and say like, that is not faking it till you make it, but it is agreeing with what God has done for us.
Yes.
And saying like, if you've set me free, if the Son has set me free, if that was purchased for me on the cross of Christ, in my mind and in my emotions, I don't necessarily feel free. My mind's running wild. My body's like confused and scared sometimes because it takes longer to catch up. But in my spirit, I can begin to make agreements with what you've said about my life. Meaning like sometimes if in that exact example that I might be getting dressed and I might say out loud, no, I'm not thinking about this anymore. And I'd put something on and go to church. Or if I was running late and I was making everybody else crazy around me, but I was determined to spend 13 minutes doing my makeup, I might say out loud, like, in Jesus' name, no, come on, everybody, let's go. I'm skipping the makeup today. We're going after God. Let's go. And that's one small example of one kind of rhythm in the week that had to get absolutely refreshed. But of course, there's just genuinely probably millions for all of us.
But that translates across the board to when we get ready for anything. When we get ready and we walk out the door, whether it's worship or work or a girls' night or a PTA conference. Yeah. What, well, not a conference. Does anybody do conferences with PTA?
I hope not. I really hope
that's a lot
not.
Of PTA.
So much PTA. The snacks better be amazing.
Seriously.
Like the best ever.
There better be a food truck there on like, anyways. And I digress. The point is when we are getting, when we are trying to present ourselves, I think that is still kind of back to what we were talking about at the beginning is, are we trying to present what we can hold together in order to be enough? Let's just go there. Let's talk about shame. Obviously, Kurt Thompson's book, Soul of Shame, like rocked my world. And the idea around shame is just that you're not enough. I mean, it begins in the garden, and you describe that so beautifully in your book by the enemy with Eve, just saying, you know, you're not enough. And then you have to disobey so you can be like God to be enough. And then immediately you'll feel shame for the disobedience. And then there we go on the crazy hamster wheel of shame and condemnation. I would love to hear, I'm sure you've shared this story before, but I would love to hear, like, what was the tipping point, right? So you've, if this is such an anthem for you, then you have a history of bondage, clearly. And we all do. Yeah. You're just, you're aware of it and you're loud about it. So praise God for that. But was it words said at a young age or just you just kind of growing up in, you know, good old US of A and turning your turning the TV on or reading a magazine, a teen bop magazine of some sort? Like where did that really take root as far as the bondage of that? And then what was the tipping point where you saw a glimpse of freedom?
Yeah. So I am very comfortable saying for me, the best slash potentially worst thing is that I don't remember the beginning for me. I have a very redolent, ripe memory of childhood. I remember things I shouldn't remember. I'm one of those weird kids that like I'll describe things and my mom will say you were definitely, you know, 2.5 when that happened. But I'm like, I can see it in my mind. That being said, my earliest memory is not someone else speaking shame over me, but just not feeling right in my body. And I'm sure I was deducing that from culture or people around me. It might have actually just been the enemy's assignment on my life. Like it just actually might have been, I don't know, demonic from the get-go. But my earliest memory is just in my own self, not feeling right, feeling a little bit weird, feeling off or other than. And I would say that was absolutely confirmed throughout childhood of just of little things spoken over me or said in front of me or said about other people's bodies in front of me. You know, nicknames given to me or kind of placed over me. But for me, when it got wildly complicated was actually when I was 15 and I met Jesus. And I was at the time living in bondage in a lot of other areas. I had multiple addictions as a like young 15-year-old that I was working through. And I immediately started to see freedom from some of those through confession, through repentance, through changing some rhythms and getting some help. I immediately started to feel freedom in all these other areas in my, I was at the time, I would say like fully addicted to smoking and drinking and had some, a lot of strong sexual ties that God really brought freedom and broke some bondage there. But I didn't feel that freedom in this area, in the body image area. And instead I even actually felt more shame because I felt like before I had known that I was letting people down with my body. And now I felt like I was letting God down with my body. And I think that the compounding of that shame was only really due to the silence. No one was talking about it. And so the few times I would kind of voice to other believers, hey, I feel this way about my body. What I was always met with was like, yeah, you should try this diet or you should do this thing. Or have you tried low carb? Or yeah, I totally understand. And, you know, we do just want to be self-disciplined. Or, you know, it was no one ever came to me and said, like, in Jesus' name, your body is good. No one said that. No one was saying that. But for me, the tipping point to, like, there has to be more than this. And I've actually never talked about this on any podcast or interview. So I'm so grateful you asked. But I had lived most of my early mid 20s working through a lot of relearning the gospel and what's my value and what's my worth here, and really trying to understand the bad news that I wasn't enough and the good news that Jesus was. And God was using that kind of revival in my heart to call me back into ministry. And I was getting excited. I had been in ministry even in my late teens, teaching and writing even as a late teen. And then in my early 20s, mid 20s, I let defeat take over and was like, forget it. I'm not going to do anything. I can't do anything. And so God was bringing back all this healing. I was in the process of getting ready to start to write my first book. My husband and I were doing a lot more in local ministry. There was some restoration happening in our hearts toward the church and community. It was a really beautiful season. And we actually moved to, a different state to help serve a church. And we were going to move there just to serve with them. And as a welcome gift, they actually gave us this extreme dieting program that everyone on staff at the church did. And I came into that church actually in probably one of the healthiest seasons I had had with my body.
Wow.
And with my body image, really like starting to grasp the gospel and letting that hit my heart. And I remember thinking like, I had it, or I must've been wrong. Like I must not be okay if this is what will make us fit for ministry, you know, I must not be okay. And I did the extreme dieting program and it was very probably physically detrimental for my health. But the beautiful thing that happened is that at the end of that extreme dieting program, I got pregnant with what would be our fourth son, Cannon. I am so grateful for that, because as my body grew and kind of normalized again, all of a sudden God was just handing me this space of time to come back to him and ask him, like, what is true here? What is good here? And as my body grew for the first time, I wasn't feeling shame about it. I was feeling so much joy. He was a pregnancy after a loss. And I don't know, it was this beautiful season of restoration. And then for me, it took several years after that of getting wisdom from other people and breaking off some actual rhythms that were keeping me away from liberty, away from experiencing it. But that was the real first thing, is this feeling of like, I thought I was okay. Maybe I'm not. No, wait, in Jesus' name. Like, my body is good. It is good.
I think what you're speaking to is the like relentless pursuit of God's rescue. Yeah. Sometimes we're looking for it in the church and we're putting that role on people. And then all of a sudden we're reminded that the people are, we're all broken in desperate need of a savior. Yes. And sometimes this is what I have found in my experience, is that we prop up the church, meaning the people of God, to speak for God. And every time we do that and we trade man's voice for God's truth and his word, it just makes us then question God. And God's like, no. This was not a thus saith the Lord, whatever the extreme dieting regimen was, because scripture counters that. And I just love that, even not just in God giving you words and truth, like you described earlier, like just these practical habits of how to change what your brain is trying to latch onto, but even God's just going, I'm also going to provide not only my truth or your word that you declare every day, but I'm also going to interrupt your life with a new baby. And to me, that is the wonder of God's goodness, of going, even when you thought you were starting to relapse or careen off a cliff here in the way you saw my goodness for your body, I'm going to draw you back. And I'm going to do it in ways that you have no idea it's coming. And you really, I mean, you did have something to do with it. But in general, the Lord's miracle is still, in my opinion, in my perspective, the relentless pursuit of the freedom he has readily available for all of us at all times. And
absolutely,
I am so thankful that you share that story, because I do, I think around this topic and a lot of topics that we're trying to find freedom in, quite frankly, is that we'll get to a point where we really start to live it out, like we're receiving it, we're embodying that in our brains and our bodies and our relationships and our vocations, and we're feeling so on top of the world, and the enemy's like, wait a minute, I'm going to start to do some whispers, and if I can't get her here, I'll get her through relationships, or I'll get her through the church, or I'll get her through something that's just twisted or tainted enough to distort what has been redeemed, and then we all of a sudden start to spiral in that relapse. And I'm thankful that you shared that. I think a lot of us have had some version of that. Can we talk about C-sections, though? Because your story and mine are the same. I had an emergency C-section with Cade. And then I love the way you talk about the hierarchy of, like, how people have babies. It's just like, if you're home with a Walmart pool, you're like top of the food chain on how to bring a baby into the world. Like, you're the best and blessed. And then the rest of us who actually took drugs, or God forbid, we're at the lowest, who had to have our stomachs cut open and just someone pull it out. And then you said, and then decided to do it again, you know?
Yes. That and was then those of us that were like, no, we're going to schedule this thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to pick a date with I like.
Cade, yeah. Like with Cade, I didn't obviously want that story. Emergency C-section, failure to thrive, get him out now. But then when Pearson Kennedy came along, I'm like, well, I mean, I could coordinate childcare. That feels yes. good.
Same.
Yeah.
I was like, I live across country from family. I could get a pedicure the day before.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's schedule this thing.
But the premise around that discussion was that we're trying to reverse the curse. I'm trying to think of the way that you said it. Let me find it.
We're trying to beat the curse.
Yes. Beat it.
Yeah.
Beat it in what? Like the way we just try to overcome or like compete in how we bring life? Like, how do you see that playing out, like trying to beat the curse?
Yeah. I hope women hear us giggling, because it's funny in that we have to make fun of the things that we've taken too far. And I think the birthing hierarchy that I pray in Jesus' name doesn't exist in your community, but may, is one of those ways, like, okay, this has gotten a little out of line, that we feel like some women are better than others, or some are lower than others because of the way they brought kids into this world, which like the actual baby is the blessing. But for me, it's really just it's one of the more easy to see scenarios where we do this, but it's really subtle everywhere else. So what's interesting is I didn't have a lot of language for this even a year ago when I was writing the book, but I started to use the phrase body prosperity. I feel like there's like a body prosperity movement within Christian community that essentially believes if you do the right things in your body, God will honor that and things will go well for you. And, you know, we're essentially copying and pasting the prosperity gospel, but saying it about our bodies. And so what's so interesting, and when I say interesting, I mean really damaging and potentially really harmful about that, is that the problem is our bodies still live under the effects of a fallen world. And what I can tell you about my story alone, which is a very mild one, is that I live with an autoimmune disease. And my autoimmune disease fleshed out means that I personally can run marathons. I can eat healthier than everyone I know on the block. I can take absolutely every single right vitamin and supplement, and I can use essential oils, and I can sleep 10 hours a night, and I am still going to get sick in different ways. And I'm still going to feel the effects of this thing. So then I have to ask, like, okay, well, what does my theology say about God? Does that mean he's not good? Does that mean I'm not good? No, it actually means God is good and he allows hard things in my life for my good and for his glory. And it doesn't mean that I'm not good or that I'm absolutely doing something wrong. No, not necessarily. I could actually be doing all the right things and still suffer these effects. It's why bad things happen to good people. And so I think that when we talk it all the way out, most of us reasonably would be like, yeah, we agree with that. You can do all the right things and still something bad can happen to you. And God can still use it. But if we don't pay attention, we live into this kind of idea of body prosperity or this idea that we can beat the curse, that we can do everything right so that we don't experience the fallenness of this world. And it's just not true. It's why I'm so glad you talk so much about your journey with anxiety and freedom and all of that, because the truth is, like, you can go after God, you can do all the right things and still experience, you know, torment or pain in your mind or in your spirit. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that he's failed or that he hasn't shown up. And it doesn't mean that you're not worshiping. It just means we are up against some things in our flesh. So whether that's mental health issues, whether that's actual physical sickness, whether that's not being able to birth the way that we hope to birth, you know, the truth is that while our spirits, while our souls are so free, and there is nothing that the enemy can do to snatch the kingdom out of our hearts and the kingdom promises out of our lives, we still live here under this kingdom, under this earthly kingdom for now, and our bodies experience the brokenness of this environment.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for speaking to that. It comes back to the ultimate posture of surrender. It just comes back to the sovereignty of a good father. And in spite of even maybe the circumstances of what we're experiencing or facing that particular day or that particular season, mm-hmm. and what I'm learning in the struggle, the trial, how much God talks about suffering that produces endurance and faith and hope, or makes you perfect and complete, lacking nothing, you're like, ugh, why is it a grace and a gift from God to actually share in the suffering? I mean, it's scripture so clear, Romans 8, you're no longer fearful slaves or sons and daughters of God, and we want to stop there. And then it continues and says, so now you get to share in the suffering. And I'm just like, back up. What's the process? Well, you know what? Suffering actually does yield prosperity because suffering produces hope. Come on. Suffering produces maturity and endurance. It produces a pain that has purpose. You can't have passion if you don't suffer. The root word of passion is to suffer. And I think we all want to overcome because we are overcomers in Christ. But Christ still took death before he took a resurrection. And I think we're trying to skip the death. We're trying to skip kind of that full surrender that really is the brink of freedom. And would you talk to the girl before we close? We're done here, but close and just share with them a word of encouragement on, they're hearing this and they're going, I want the freedom that Jess has and I want what she's got to talk about and I don't want to be afraid of the struggle on the other side of this because God is going to be with me in it, right? You're not alone in the struggle or the suffering. So talk to them, and if you don't mind praying and closing, I just want whatever the Spirit wants to say to the listener today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's the best news I want to give you is that the best thing about being a kingdom woman or even a kingdom man, because we know men struggle with this, the best thing about being members of God's kingdom is that he does the heavy lifting. And in regards to our body and in regards to our health, we have been sold this lie that it is absolutely all up to us, that we have to do all of the work, that we have to figure it out, that we have to muster it up, that we have to keep it together. And my favorite thing about God, our Father, is that he helps us with literally everything. And so I want to just encourage you with this at the beginning, if you're at the beginning or in the thick of or in the pit of a freedom journey as it pertains to your body image. He is good and he finishes what he starts. So you don't have to be scared of losing the energy as you move forward in this. You don't have to be scared of maybe finding some things in the dark. He will even then come along and bring the light that you need. And the best news of the gospel is that 2 Corinthians 12:9, his power is made perfect in our weakness. And so if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling scared, we know a guy. And this is where it gets good. When we actually feel weak, when we actually feel broken, when we actually do surrender to the truth of our circumstances, which is that we need help. And I also just lastly want to encourage you that you didn't start this fight. You didn't cause this problem. We were born into it. We were born into this assignment of the enemy against the bodies of women. And Jesus is going to finish it. It's not our battle even to finish, but we get to be a part of seeing our generation step into some freedom. And that's really, really, really good news. That reminder that he's going to do the work, that he's going to do the heavy lifting, that ultimately he's going to do the defeating of the enemy. And it's going to be the blood of the Lamb, his work with the word of our testimony, us just living our story and speaking truth about what he's done. This is going to bring massive victory.
So good.
So yeah, let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that you love our bodies. We thank you in Jesus' name that you made them good, that you didn't make a single one of us and say like, oops, my bad, but that you made every single one of us and looked at our bodies and said, that is my daughter, that is my son. In Jesus' name, we are so thankful for this good news. We don't even really maybe perceive it or believe it or feel it all the time, but we want to. And so we're asking that you would change our minds, that you would renew our minds by the power of your word, that you would transform our lives as you replace some lies with truth. And help us to live free, to act free, to agree with the liberty that is ours for the taking, maybe even before we feel it. But we're asking for complete abundance. We're asking that we would also feel free too, that we would experience a little bit of heaven on earth, even in our emotions and even in our spirits. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You're the best. Thank you, girl.
You are. I love you.
So, Gabe, what'd you think?
I mean, that was great. I mean, it was just, I felt like listening in on this pretty intimate conversation about our bodies, how we think about it. I kind of felt like I probably should feel more shame about my body. No. I know that wasn't the point of this conversation, but like, I don't feel a lot of body shame, but I probably should work out a little bit more. I should do that sort of thing. But I thought, listen, this is the conversation our kids are having. Everybody's wanting to better understand their body's health. Mm-hmm. And how do we think about it in a healthy way? If we're only looking at magazine covers and Instagram models and everything that we see the world put in front of us that tells us this is what you're supposed to look like, we truly are missing the image of God as right. He's directed it through us and how he wants us to live in health.
Right.
And the body kind of follows after that.
Yeah. The book addresses so many hot topics around this, whether it's body positivity or then not taking care of yourself at all. And I think you're just going to love it. It's going to actually connect and unite women, I think, in this conversation from a posture of grace and humility. And I'm very excited for you guys to listen in.
And I also just want to remind you to order Rebecca's new book, pre-order it, A Surrendered Yes, 52 Devotions to Let Go and Live Free. That's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you buy books. And then you can bring that receipt and confirm you purchased it at RebeccaLyons.com/ASY and get access to the interactive sessions with Rebecca coming up in a few weeks, as well as the 7 free chapters, iPhone backgrounds, and all that. We hope you have an incredible week.